Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Linda with Soul in the City, and we're just glad to have you come in. Sit back and relax. I have a special guest who will be calling in a little while here, and her name is Lisa Scott. She will. She's a life coach, a motivational coach. She has a business called Motivation Made Simple. In the meantime, we are going to just go ahead and listen to a little music by Jill Scott. So we're going to be talking about motivating and motivating your life, and what do you do when you're in a rut? How do you keep it moving? How do you go for your dreams? So sit back and relax and enjoy tonight. We're going to kind of base everything on a spiritual foundation of blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as children through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Basically, it's saying that we are the children of the Most High. There is no reason at all that we cannot be and do whatever it is we choose to be, that we cannot go after our dreams. Anything that is righteous and good, God is all for that. He is God inside of us. So because he is, we are, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let's go ahead and listen to some music by Jill Scott, Living Life as a Golden. That's how we should live life. That's what he's chosen for us. So sit back and relax, and let's just play a little bit of that. Hi, Lisa. Hello.
Hello, Linda.
Yes, we're on the air. It kind of started a little sooner than I anticipated, but we're going to go with it and roll with it. I went on ahead and introduced you as Lisa Scott, motivational life coach extraordinaire, and you have the business. I'm going to let you talk about the business. How about that?
Oh, that's wonderful, Linda. Thank you so much for inviting me onto your show. I'm honored to be here. I am Lisa Scott of Motivation Made Simple. My website is www.motivationmadesimple.net. I actually wanted to give a shout-out to the young lady who helped me with that website because she spent a lot of time with me helping me to develop my website. So I just wanted to say thank you, Jen. I know you're listening. And I am a life coach and motivator, which is something I've been doing all my life, actually. So I'm not even going to talk about a time that I started, because anybody who knows me would tell you that this is something I've always done.
Good. And we are so blessed and glad to have you. And glad you came on the show and glad you accepted. We're going to go right on into it if it's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Okay, since we were talking about life coaching, explain to the listening audience exactly what a life coach is.
Absolutely. A life coach is someone who has a skill set that is useful in helping a person to be able to focus their attention in whatever direction that that person wants to go. A lot of times, because of all the various responsibilities each of us have in our lives, we may either lose the direction we set for ourselves or just need a conversation to help us get through a particular situation. Either way, a life coach or the life coach you choose would be able to bring something to the table as it relates to your personal needs. Now, life coaching is a broad spectrum, so you want to shop around to see who may be best at meeting your personal needs. I would recommend someone that does at least offer a brief consultation where you can speak to the coach to see if you're a match before purchasing a session from that coach. But dependent on the coach, dependent on the coach will determine the length of the consultation. I just wanted to stop and say that because that could be anywhere from 15 minutes to like an hour. So, you know, it depends on the coach. There are many kinds of coaches, from business coaches who specialize in just working on business-related concerns to organizing coaches who can coach you through organizing your life from papers in a home office to couponing. So you can definitely find a coach specific to your personal needs. And, of course, word of mouth or listening to a show like this is wonderful in helping someone to determine who they're going to choose as a life coach or whatever, you know, type of coach you choose to that you choose.
Hey, that sounds good. And, you know, what are the advantages of someone hiring a life coach?
Well, a good life coach should be able to understand fairly quickly exactly what you're looking to get out of a session, short of you coming right out and saying exactly what you're looking for. An advantage is that we're not biased. We bring no judgment as it relates to what's being worked on or discussed. You can feel comfortable with your coach and confident that what you're speaking about is going to be held in confidence. And because we're not clinicians, although some may have a clinical degree or background, we're free to discuss with you your spiritual thoughts or concerns, whereas other kinds of clinicians are encouraged not to be involved with that type of or with that topic.
Okay, that sounds good. It sounds like this is a good time for us to be discussing setting up your goals and even thinking about getting a life coach as the year ends and comes to the close. And people reflect life about what it is they want to do next. So sounds like a good time to be doing that. What are some of the suggestions for encouraging the listening audience of going after your goals?
Well, the first thing I would say is don't compare yourself amongst yourself. A lot of times because we're so busy looking at our peers or our family or who or whatever we're paying attention to, we think I can't do what they're doing or I can't do it the way they're doing it. And the answer to that is that you can't because you're you and they are who they are. There's only one me, so I must bring to the table what I offer or what feels right in my heart to do. It's the only way what you come up with will be will have a lasting or will be longstanding. I would also say don't be afraid to fail. I wouldn't even say that there is such a thing. I would just say that there's only learning. There are no mistakes, only learning. If you try something and it doesn't work out, it teaches you how to do it better or to plan another strategy. Another thing would be to find out what's at the root of your fears. A lot of times we don't, you know, start goals or do what it is we're thinking about because we have a lot of fears going on. So once you are able to get to the root of, you know, what may be going on with you, you want to forgive yourself as quickly as possible. Learn from it and move on.
Okay, those are all good tips and a lot of good things for the listening audience to just reflect on. Today we're just going to, like, learn today. I will have the chat lines open if you want to come in and chat. And then if there's a question that you have, I'll propose that to Lisa. But today we're talking about life coaching. I just want to review that again. And Lisa has kind of gone over what a life coach is and the advantages of hiring a life coach. And we're going to go to the next question is, how important is it to have a vision and a plan for your life?
It's definitely very important. You need to feel comfortable and confident inside of yourself, or comfortable in your own skin, basically, first, because once you get to that place of feeling and slowly being able to think about what it is that you love, it's just very important that you have or that you're feeling very comfortable and confident within your own skin.
Yeah.
Before you move forward to, you know, planning or having a vision or trying to plan anything, because it's going to come full circle if you're not comfortable with yourself.
That's so true. So true for us to be comfortable in who we are and comfortable in expressing that to others. The next question is, when people seem to be stuck in a rut and life is just not going the way that they had hoped, what are some action steps that you suggest would be helpful into helping them get out of that rut?
Well, I would say that the first thing is that you need to be honest with yourself about what you're feeling inside. Most people are thinking and seeing things very externally or on the outside of themselves and may not be able to get out of the quote-unquote rut because they're stuck emotionally. And in fact, most of the time, that is the case. You can think more clearly when you're not emotionally bogged down. And life coaches are wonderful at listening and providing direction, you know, within the scope of whatever that life coach does. They can help to focus your thoughts so that you can begin to try and get out of that rut. Then you want to write down how you feel, how you want your life to feel. And I know that may seem ironic to say, but a lot of times if you do that type of exercise and you write down how you want your life to feel, you can begin to get some clear direction as to how to help yourself out of the rut.
Right, and that is, I think it is important to write down how you feel. That's a really good concept in writing it down, because sometimes I think we're in a rut. It's difficult to identify what it is that places us there, and I think for me, just even journaling has helped me to get myself to a place where I can really look at where I'm feeling, where I am in a situation, even going past like another year to see where I was last year versus where I am this year. Maybe are there some similarities about some things that I've done, relationships, or whatever that has caused me to be in that rut. So I think that's really awesome. I was just curious, and this is kind of off the cuff, what is a coaching session? What would that be like? I'm your client. What would a coaching session entail? Just so the audience can kind of get a feel for that. They come in, they call you. Can you kind of tell us?
I'm sorry, say that last part again.
I said, can you just tell us what a coaching session would be like?
Yes. With me, there would be an initial consultation where I would get to know exactly what it is you're looking to do, to make sure that I am right for what it is you're looking for. Because, as I said, again, there are many types of coaches out there. So, you know, you might come to me and I might not have expertise in relationship coaching. And it, you know, come to find out that's what you're in need of. So there would be an initial consultation, I would say about 15, 20 minutes or so, where we're determining whether or not I am a match, you know, for that client. And then because right now my business is pretty much cyber-based, I'm going to say, I do not have a home office, but I am here in New Jersey in a town called Mays Landing, which is not far from the Atlantic City. It might have, a lot of your listeners might know where Atlantic City is, so I'm near there. But we would either have a phone session or we could do video chat. And the sessions for me, again, would be about an hour long. Those sessions, basically I would sit and listen and ask very specific questions as it relates to whatever you're telling me based on the initial consultation. So if we decide that we're going to move forward in something having to do with business, then, you know, the next time we meet, you know, talk, the conversation, you know, the person would be telling me exactly what it is that they're looking to get out of that session, and I would ask very specific questions as it relates to what they're looking for. And as I'm listening, I am able to focus the person's attention to, like their minds might be all over the place, and they told me in the beginning that they had a goal. But their minds might be all over the place. So I would be the one to help them to focus their attention on what it is that they are looking to do.
Hey, that sounds good. Because I think a lot of times we just, when you're in that rut or when you just kind of don't know where to go next, a lot of the times it's to sit still and focus in on what it is you do best and what are your gifts and your talents. So that does help out. And then I was going to, you talked about relationships, so let's go there. How does a life coach work with relationships? And what do you do? It's two questions in one. If the ones closest to you are your dream killers?
Well, I, you know, as I said, or I think I said, I am not a relationship coach, but what I would say as far as any relationship is that the only person that you can be responsible for is yourself. And the only person that you can change is yourself. So if you're in a relationship and having any type of difficulty, whether it's a friendship or an intimate relationship, I would encourage, you know, whoever wants or desires a change or something different in that relationship, that they begin to have the courage, if you will, to look at themselves, because really that's the only person that you can change is you.
That's real good. We should begin usually with looking at the man in the mirror and seeing where it is you want to go and what you want to do.
Yeah, a lot of times, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I was just thinking that a lot of times when you change or begin to look at yourself and you make whatever necessary changes for yourself, a lot of the other concerns, issues, they dissipate because you're in a better space. So the energy around you begins to change because you're in a better space. So a lot of times we're looking outside of ourselves for someone else to change, but in actuality, it's ourselves.
That's so true. And even in the sense, the second part of the question where what do you do, whether that's business, relationships, or whatever, sometimes your family members, your loved ones who, you know, your dreams may seem so far-fetched, so out there to them that they kind of, oh, you'll never be able to do that. How do you handle those people that sometimes are the closest people to you?
Actually, I would say most of the time it's the closest people. I would say that we need to learn that we don't have to tell everybody everything. I learned very quickly that a lot of times when I would have, you know, a dream or a vision, and I would even begin to express that to someone, right then and there, the energy that was inside of me as it related to that dream or vision would begin to diminish a little bit. So it really initially doesn't even have anything to do with you're telling someone else. It initially has something to do with the fact that you might have had a lot more to learn about mm-hmm. what it is that about your dream or your vision, and you needed to be quiet just a little while longer so that you could learn more about it. But also, if you have to pay attention to the fact that you may be a very sensitive person, and I would say that I am, but if you're a very sensitive person and, say, for instance, you tell someone about your dream and they put on a certain facial expression and you didn't happen to like what that facial expression looked like and you took it as a negative when it really didn't mean anything, if you're very sensitive to, you know, how people respond to things, you know, how they look, their body language, things like that, that could be a deterrent to you, and you might turn around and start going back to the familiar because you were expecting a certain outcome, a certain look, a certain response, and you didn't get what you were looking for, so you turn around and go back to the familiar, when in actuality, that's just an excuse for you as well to not do what it is you, what you desire to do. So I would just say you don't have to tell everybody everything.
And I'm just going to go with that because I feel like that is a really important thing. And you brought up another important point about preparing and being, sometimes it's your quiet time. You know, I'm very spiritual, and I believe that a lot of times before we can move out on our dream, God needs to prepare us mentally, physically, and spiritually for the dream. So a lot of times before you talk, you're in the you're in the birthing period is what I call it, of letting that happen. So you just have to allow, like a butterfly, you have to let the process begin inside of you and just kind of sit on it and mellow on it and let God guide you and where that is he's going to lead you within that. So basically we talked about that, but it's about protecting your dreams. How do we protect our dreams? And even in the protection, choosing who to share any part of it with, and when do you share?
I'm sorry, say that again, Linda.
In the process of protecting our dreams, how do we protect our dreams? And then even choosing when the time is right to share the dream.
I'm going to answer the second part first because I think that choosing to share is a heartfelt thing. I don't think that there's any specific time frame or anything like that. Everybody is individual and everybody, you know, has a different way about them. I just think that purely comes from the heart of the individual, that they'll know when it's time to share with others.
Right.
And as far as protecting your dream, I would go back to what I said initially as far as not feeling like you have to tell everybody everything, and just making sure that you keep your dreams in the forefront of your thoughts. A lot of times we get bogged down with our day-to-day activities and responsibilities, and, you know, you might have that dream, but you might also still have that full-time or part-time job. You know, you're a mother, you're doing this, you're doing that, and you fall very quickly back into that familiar pattern. And you kind of put your dreams on the back burner. But I would say that You should be doing something. I don't care how small you think it is, even if it's, jotting something down, making a list of goals and objectives, reading a book as it relates to your dream, getting on the internet and doing some studying as it relates to what you're trying to do. As long as you keep your dream and, different things that are related to that alive in the forefront of your mind, that is extremely helpful. It's been very helpful with me. I don't care how small, something is or might seem to someone else. If I just sit down and read, a chapter of a book as it relates to life coaching or, a motivational speaker or anything as it relates to what I'm doing, I am keeping my dream alive.
And that is so important to do that, to nurture the dream and to keep it alive. And like you said, no step is too small. If it's like you said, reading a chapter in the book. And then as a life coach, do you have a particular niche, which we kind of talked about, or a group of people that are passionate for you?
Yes, absolutely. When I first started doing this, I was basically speaking to everyone. And I would hear, I had a young lady, she's also the person that was helping me with the website as well as a good friend of mine, that would use that term niche, or you need to find a niche. And initially, I didn't feel like that was very important as it related to life coaching. Because life coaching is very broad, and there's so many different kinds of life coaches, I figured, I could put some information out there, I could help to motivate people, and didn't necessarily need to have a niche. But as time went on, I started to feel, again, in my heart, that it was correct to find a niche. And so I began to think about that, and I have always been in business, specifically healthcare, but I'm just going to keep it general and say business. For over 25 years, I've been involved in business and administrative business in some way, shape, or form. And I felt like this wouldn't be a stretch for me to speak to the businesswoman specifically and help her along the way as it relates to coaching her through whatever it is, whether business or personal. I would like to be there for the woman who is in business. And that doesn't mean owning a business. It can mean, just working within a business. But regardless, you have business-related issues and concerns that maybe you can't speak about on the job. Maybe you carry a lot of your issues home with you and it affects your family life. I want to be there in all of those areas. So that's my niche, and it's – I'm sorry?
I said it's a lot of women who suffer with trying to juggle all of that, home, family, whether you own your business or you work in a business, and moving up the corporate ladder. It can – when you think of all of that and you're trying to juggle all of that, it can be really stressful.
Exactly. So I do have a background in teaching. I've taught things like customer service, facilitating a project team, dealing with difficult customers, and in doing facilitation of different projects and things like that. I got to understand group dynamics and different things like that, where you really have to know the room, who you're speaking to, the culture of that group, things of that nature. But things always tended to go to a personal level, because And what I mean by that is people have always found it very easy to talk to me, so I don't care what I'm doing. It'll always go there. That's part of why I decided to put myself in the niche of life coaching at all, because this happens very naturally with me on a day-to-day basis. So I figure a source or God is trying to tell me something.
I so agree with you, because you just seem like the person that would be easy to talk to. We have just meshed, and we really have just met each other not too long ago, so I can so totally see that. Do you have any suggestions for women who are trying to do all of that? We're trying to either do businesses, work in business, family, and all of that, because you are a woman who are doing all of that. You're every woman, as they say. So how do you manage life when you're doing all that family, you know, business, doing whatever to get a business off the ground? How are you managing that?
Well, I have to say that for me personally, I have truly been blessed. I work a part-time. I am a practice manager for a psychiatrist, and I do that part-time. I saw something for myself as it relates to the hours that I work for someone else. And I, you know, kept that in the forefront of my mind, meaning that I decided that the time that I spend with my family is the most precious time to me or for me. That doesn't mean that it has to be for everyone. But I decided that I wanted to work part-time, and my wonderful husband, who's listening right now, has allowed me or afforded me the ability to be able to work part-time doing what I do, so that I can move forward with whatever my dreams are, and he supports me in all that I do. So that's half the battle for me. But I would say that a woman needs to get really clear about what it is that she wants. And it does have to be on that level, meaning you do have to stop and decide that whatever it is you're doing, is that what you really want to do? Because if you are giving a lot of energy to something that really isn't you, or something that you just ended up doing, And so you spend a lot of your energy in that, and you don't have any left for your family, well, it's time to stop and reassess that. So that's half the battle right there. The other thing that I've learned to do is meditate. Now, I don't do that anywhere near as often as I should, but I'm finding that it really helps to keep my mind clear when I think about doing it, and I do meditate, meaning get your mind clear of, all of the thoughts going on, because so many thoughts are coming at us from so many different directions all day long. When you can get in a space where you can clear your mind, you're better able to cope with things. So those are the two major things that I would say to someone, and not even just meditation, prayer. Those things together, does a world of good for anyone. So I would strongly suggest those things.
And I'm just going to ditto that, because that is something we speak about on the show all the time, is finding that quiet place for yourself to first unload, and then sometimes even after I unload, then I can focus in on solutions sometimes. But first I have to unload, and then to God about what is the direction and listening, because we are big on the show about, prayer is a two-way conversation. Sometimes we speak to God, but the other part of the conversation is to listen to what he's saying, and you have to get quiet and focused in to hear that still small voice inside of you. So
absolutely. I'm sorry.
You go right.
I was going to say, I just thought of it. The other thing I would suggest is, like right here, I'm in my bedroom in my home, and before the show, I decided I wanted to light some candles, and I like the smelly candles, and I like tranquil spaces, things like that. So when you're coming home from a long day of work, you can kind of make your car your sanctuary. So if you can find that favorite song, you know, have the car smelling the way you want it to, just create that space that makes you feel good. So whatever that is, those are the things that are the quick and easy things that you can do for yourself that really go a long way. For me, ambiance is everything. If I have a room that has the ambiance that I like, I'm good. So I'm in a space right now where I created that for myself, and it helps me to better flow with our conversation.
And you are flowing with it, because I'm throwing some things in here, and he is answering them without a problem. No hesitation. She's going right to it. So this
good,
is working.
All right.
It is. The next thing is, you know, I often tell people and tell people on the show that God has given us the power to live our lives by design. What is your feeling on that? Or can you elaborate?
I'm going to elaborate. I absolutely agree with that 110%. I'm going to take it to another level. I'm going to say that that the thoughts that you have in your mind, the dreams that you have, the visions that you have about what it is you want to do or be would not come out of you if they didn't already belong to you. There's no way that you would have even thought that thought or dreamed that dream if it didn't already belong to you. And it's because a lot of times we're looking externally. We're looking for validation or confirmation from someone else that we won't move forward on something that's coming from directly inside of us because we're used to being taught that, you know, validation or confirmation or something like that comes externally. So we have to learn to trust that what's coming from our heart, that is you, and it was given to you by God, and that you can trust it because it wouldn't be there if it didn't belong to you in the first place.
That is good. I really like that, and it is true. God has given us those things, and we just have to pull it out because I'm a firm believer in that a lot of times we have talents and gifts laying down in us like a treasure chest, and we just haven't taken the time to start pulling, open the treasure chest, pulling out those gifts and talents. So, you know, right now, before the year ends, think on that, pull them out. And then tell us about your business. And you did tell us a little bit, but tell us a little bit more about your business and how others can reach out and contact you. And I have a couple of questions on the chat line after you tell us about your business that I'll kind of bring up to you.
Wonderful. Okay. Again, Motivation Made Simple is a life coaching. I am a life coach and motivator. I am on the internet or on my website, rather, www.motivationmadesimple.net, no spacing. In between that, that's a brief website, and we'll be building on that sometime soon. You can reach me at lisascott858@msn.com. I also have two blogs going, but I and really not feeling advertising that right now because we also have to know when we're spreading ourselves a little too thin. And I am not a blogger, so I just have to confess that, and I'm really considering not getting too much into that, but I do have a couple of blogs going. One is on Tumblr, and the other is on Twitter. On Twitter, I am Motivator28, and on Tumblr, actually, I'm sorry, and please forgive me, I don't remember that because I'm not on it that much. But the easiest way to reach me is by the website, on my Facebook page also, which is Motivation Made Simple, and my email, which is lisascott858@msn.com.
Okay, Lisa, do you have any lasting comments? Show went so fast, it's been a half an hour, but I do have a couple of people on the chat line that had a couple of questions, and I didn't know if you would be open. Are you open to some questions from our chat line?
I am open, and I'll just say that if I don't know, I'll tell you.
Okay, sounds good. Well, I got James. James is saying that he has desires to have a business, but just can't seem to get started. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, I really couldn't. I would just say, let me think about that for a minute, because it really would depend on the business.
Mm-hmm.
It would depend on the business, how he got started. I mean, is it a web-based business? Is it what can we ask what kind of business it is?
James, chat back with me, and I'm chatting with him and asking him. He is wanting to, he's a chef, and he wants to open up his own restaurant at some point, but finances and some other things are getting in the way. And so do you have any muddled through to even get, I guess that has been a disappointment for him, so he's had a hard time with getting it going. I hope I'm right, James, and I'm sat back with him as we speak.
I would ask if there's any grant funding in his area for something like that. I don't even know if they had such a thing for chefs, but that would be a good place to start. Also, maybe doing some events. Sometimes we have to do things that we have to kind of put ourselves out there first so that people know that we're good at what we do. So he might have to do, maybe some big events in his area where they would allow him to be a chef and people can kind of taste test the food, that type of thing. And that way people would know for a fact, his food is really good. And by word of mouth, I believe a lot of businesses get up and going and flowing really good once they have the buy-in of someone who has actually tested that product. So, those are the things I can think of off of the top of my head that might be helpful.
Those are good things. Thank you, James. And then I have a question from Cynthia, and she is
mm-hmm.
saying that she has a difficult boss.
I'm sorry?
I have a question from a lady named Cynthia who's saying that she has a boss who is very difficult and sort of sabotages a lot of things that she does or either takes credit for, projects or whatever. Did you have any suggestions for her how to handle a difficult boss?
Well, the first thing I would say is it sounds to me like the boss is threatened
mm-hmm.
by Cynthia. A lot of times people behave in certain ways and we don't know what's going on behind the scenes with them, where their insecurities lie. So they, sabotage things. I'm not sure if I would recommend having a conversation about that directly as much as I would pay attention to what those insecurities might be with the boss, and kind of killing, if it's a woman, killing her with kindness. Sometimes that works with someone who is insecure because they're looking to be played up to or whatever, if Cynthia is comfortable with that. But I would say that first she needs to not handle anything emotionally, because a lot of times if we handle things emotionally, we can find that we're doing something or saying something that we wouldn't have said or done because we're acting out of emotion. And don't blame yourself. But also come to a place where you're going to decide how long you're going to tolerate that. Now, I don't know what position or if there's another position that maybe you can transfer to or something like that, and I certainly don't advocate running for the hills, you know, just because you're experiencing a problem. But it just sounds to me like the boss could be very insecure. And I guess one of the actions I would take is I would maybe document things a little bit so you can kind of see for yourself if something clearly jumps out at you as to what might be the insecurity or concern with this particular boss.
Okay. That sounds, those are really good off the top. I am very impressed.
Oh,
and I hope that answers. Now I have a Joanne who really missed the first two questions or the first part of the show, and basically she kind of wanted you to go back over what is a life coach, and basically my first questions, what is a life coach, and how would somebody, what would be the advantage of somebody getting a life coach, is basically my first two questions.
Okay. A life coach is someone who has a specific skill set or understanding about whether it, about either business, organizing. It can be helping. You can be a coach as it relates to helping disadvantaged children. There's all kinds of life coaches or coaches. It's a very broad spectrum, and based on what it is that you're looking for, you could pretty much find a life coach or a coach who is doing that specific job or, you know, has the specific skill set that you need to help you through whatever it is that you need help with. A life coach is someone who is unbiased, who you should feel comfortable talking with, and understand that your whatever it is you talk about is held in the strictest of confidence. And a life coach is someone that you can sit down and talk to, who motivates you, who might give you that push that you need to get through something. I'm not going to say we're an alternative to clinicians, but we are in addition. We're out there and would be in addition to, you know, you're going to another type of, or you know, or a clinician. And I don't even want to say which types of clinicians. I'm sorry.
I just think you answered pretty much what she was asking. She did say you answered my questions.
Oh, good.
You
answered. Okay.
And as we, do you have any final thoughts? The year is coming to an end, and, you know, we all do those things where we have set our goals and intentions for the new year. And as we kind of close out the show, do you have any suggestions for people as they're embarking on dreams, desires, goals for the year? What would be your kind of final thoughts of encouragement and motivation to people?
I would just say something I said before, where just believe in yourself, because if you believe in yourself, others will definitely believe in you. Understand that whatever it is that's coming out of your heart, your dreams, your desires, your visions, understand that it came out of you because it is you. And learn to trust yourself. Move forward as quickly as you possibly can, but with efficiency, so that you're not working harder, you're working smarter. And just make sure that you keep your dream in the forefront of your mind and do something each and every day as it relates to what it is you're trying to do, so that you keep it in the forefront of your mind and don't revert back to that familiar feeling of just, you know, getting up and doing the day-to-day stuff that is so easy to do because it's what you've always known to do. And I would just say that you can do it, and just understand that your dreams are you.
That sounds good. Sounds like great things for the year. I just want to thank you for helping us out to share, and hopefully some of you guys will contact Lisa and get that needed motivation and encouragement to help you move to the next level. Thank you so much, Lisa, for sharing with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Linda. I am so honored to have been invited onto your show, and I hope you have me again.
We will, most definitely. We had a little bit of technical difficulties at the beginning of the show, but we smoothed right on through it. Thank you for being patient with me as we smoothed through those technical difficulties. And to my listening audience, this is Soul in the City, where we inspire you to go higher and higher in the spirit, where we inspire you to work on the city of your soul. We're so glad you came with us this evening. We're going to leave out with a little music, Living Life as It's Golden. I just want to say thank you to Lisa again. Be blessed. Be who you are, because you are God's child. And this is Soul in the City. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Golden, golden, golden.
Well, that's Jill Scott and living my life as it's golden, golden. I just want to end the program. I want to again thank Lisa Scott for giving us information and sharing her thoughts on with us and teaching us about what it is that a life coach does, how we can set our intentions on our dreams and our goals and how to achieve those. I like to leave with scripture. We had a little technical difficulty at the beginning of the program, so I just want to make sure that I leave with a little scripture and then we're going to end the program. Thank you all for listening and participating. As the year closes, I just want to say to all the Soul in the City listeners, thank you so much for sharing this time with us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for ever expanding and growing, because more people and more people are coming in and listening to the show. So I so appreciate all of you listeners. Thank you so much. I'm going to go to Ephesians, starting with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as his children through Christ, through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Again, as I said at the beginning of the program, that is saying that God has predestined us to live in greatness, to live in power, to live in the ability to do all that he created us to be. He loves us. He's given the grace through the beloved, which is Jesus Christ, to do all of those things. So know that you're powerful. Know that you're beautiful. Know that you have the power to design your life, because God has blessed you with that, to design your life in the way that you want it to. Those righteous, good desires that are in your heart are desires that God has placed in your heart for you to do what it is he's called you to do. So I just want to just again say that. Be blessed. Be you. Be beautiful. This is Soul in the City. Good evening.